Hey everyone, welcome back. Now we like to get into the weeds here, so today we are going deep on some really interesting trends in the wine world.
Yeah, it's a great time to be talking about this. We've got this new report from the SVB Wine Division,
Oh yeah.
their annual direct-to-consumer report. And there was also this panel discussion with some real experts, folks actually in the industry.
Right. No, that's perfect because we want to know
Yeah,
what's really going on.
absolutely.
So what I'm seeing here, and tell me if you're seeing the same thing, the report paints this picture
Yeah.
almost like a tale of two different
Yes.
wine industries, right?
Totally.
You've got your premium wineries, the ones
Right.
that, $12 and up a bottle, they seem to be doing okay.
Right.
But then everyone else, everyone under that $11
Yeah.
mark, it's a little.
It's a little dicey. The data in the report, it really highlights that. So you see these, really high inventory levels right across the board, the whole alcohol beverage industry.
Wow.
It suggests, maybe people aren't buying as much.
Things are slowing down a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, and this is key, when you zero in on the premium wines, at retail, things are actually pretty balanced.
Interesting.
Like those bottles, they're moving.
Okay.
So it's really about, like you said, two different segments within the.
It's such a good point
Yeah.
because wineries really need to know where they fit in and
Absolutely.
know, okay, what is my strategy?
100%. You got to play to your strengths, right? And speaking of, finding your lane, remember when Napa was the spot? Like everybody was going to Napa.
Oh, yeah, it was like the place to be.
I mean, they were getting more visitors than Disneyland.
I remember
It
that.
was crazy. But it seems like those days, maybe,
Yeah, are people falling out of love with wine country?
No, no, no. I don't think it's that. It's just changing. All right. So yeah, overall tasting room visits, they are down. But this is interesting. The report, it actually shows that that decline, it's slowing down.
Okay.
So, we could be turning a corner here.
So maybe it's not that people don't want to go.
Yeah.
They're just being a little more picky, a little more discerning.
Exactly. Plus, you've got regions, Paso, Santa Barbara, they're actually seeing more people show up.
Oh, interesting. So a little bit of a shakeup in like
Yeah,
where people are going.
100%. But here's where it gets really wild. Even though fewer people are showing up, at these tasting rooms, the people who are there, they're spending more.
Really? So the tasting room purchases are actually up.
Up. And this, I think, tells you everything. Wineries are getting smarter.
Yeah.
They're focusing on attracting those higher value customers, even if it means, a few less folks overall.
So quality over quantity.
Quality over quantity. But, and I don't want to, kill the mood here, but we do have to address the elephant in the room, or should I say, the price tag on the bottle. Because the report, it does highlight this pretty significant increase in, well, everything. Tasting room fees, the cost of the bottles themselves, even, that whole tipping culture, it's all going up.
Yeah, and we're not talking about like a small jump either.
No, we're talking 21% jump year over year just for tasting fees.
Wow, that's a lot. So the question is, I mean, at what point is it too much? At what point do those higher prices actually start to scare those customers away?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's a tough one because on the one hand, you've got wineries, they have costs too, right? They got to keep the lights on. But then you've got customers and yeah, they're willing to spend, but they also want to feel like they're getting their money's worth.
It's a tough balance to strike, for sure. But what about those folks who maybe aren't making it out to the tasting rooms as much? I feel like we hear a lot about the importance of direct-to-consumer sales, but it seems like a lot of wineries are still really reliant on those in-person visits.
It's true. A lot of wineries, they do still lean heavily on those tasting room sales, but the report, it really shines a light on this huge missed opportunity. Because guess what? There are tons of wine lovers out there who aren't necessarily making a pilgrimage to wine country every weekend.
Right, and they still want their wine.
Exactly. And they're buying it too. What's fascinating is that the report actually breaks down where the biggest spenders for direct consumer wine are. And it's not necessarily where you'd think. Forget the coasts. We're talking about some surprising pockets of wine enthusiasts all over the place.
Really? So what you're saying is there's a whole world of wine lovers out there just waiting to be reached.
Exactly. And that's where things get really
It's
interesting.
not like people are suddenly buying less wine online.
Right, exactly. It's more like, how do you reach those people, right? Because it's not like the older days where you could just like put an ad in a magazine and call it a day.
Yeah, those days are long gone. Everyone's online now, and it feels like I don't know, everyone's shouting, and it's hard to break through the noise.
100%. It's that whole crowded digital vineyard thing we were talking about, right? Wineries really need to step up their digital game if they want to stand out.
So what does that look like? Is it just about like having a fancy website and posting on Instagram every day?
It's definitely more than that. The experts on that panel, you know, they were really stressing the importance of personalization. It's not enough to just like blast out generic emails or hope for the best on social media.
So what? Like sending out handwritten letters to everyone on your mailing list? I mean, I love that idea, but it doesn't seem exactly scalable.
Right. No, not handwritten letters, but you're getting at the heart of it. It's about using the tools we have, the data, the technology, to create a more personalized experience. So instead of those generic email blasts, think more like targeted campaigns based on, you know, someone's past purchases.
So if I bought a case of Pinot Noir last month, you might send me an email about, I don't know, an upcoming Pinot Noir tasting event.
Exactly. Or maybe it's a special offer on a new vintage or a curated selection of Pinot Noirs that you might enjoy based on your past purchases.
Okay, now that's smart. I'd be way more likely to open that email than something totally random.
Right. It's about speaking to people as individuals, not just a mass audience. And the same goes for social media.
So less broadcasting and more like having actual conversations with people.
Exactly. Engaging with comments, responding to messages, running polls and quizzes, all of that helps build relationships and creates a sense of community.
Community, I like that. It's about creating a sense of belonging, which is something I think people are really craving these days.
Totally. And speaking of technology, we can't forget about good old-fashioned text messaging.
Oh, you mean SMS marketing? I've been seeing more and more of that lately.
It might sound a little old school, but honestly, think about it. People are glued to their phones. A well-crafted text message, it can be a really powerful way to stay top of mind and, you know, drive those impulse purchases.
So sending out a text like, hey, your favorite rosé is back in stock.
Exactly. Or maybe it's a last-minute reminder about a flash sale or a special offer just for your VIP customers. The key is to be strategic and not bombard people with messages.
Right. Nobody wants to be spammed, even if it is with amazing wine deals. But this is all starting to sound a little overwhelming, to be honest. Like, how are wineries supposed to manage all of this? The personalized emails, the social media, the text messaging, on top of, you know, actually making and selling wine.
That's where things get really interesting. Remember how we were talking about artificial intelligence earlier? How some wineries are starting to experiment with AI?
Yeah, like those robot sommeliers taking over tasting rooms. I'm not sure I'm ready for that.
Huh. Not quite. But AI can be a really powerful tool for wineries looking to up their digital marketing game. Think about it. AI can analyze massive amounts of data and identify patterns that would take a human marketer, you know, hours, days, maybe even weeks to uncover.
So AI could help wineries figure out, like, what kind of wines people are searching for online or what time of day is best to send out those text messages.
Exactly. It can help wineries personalize those email campaigns, optimize their social media content, even craft more targeted SMS messages.
Wow. So AI isn't just about robots. It's about like working smarter, not harder.
Exactly. But, and this is a big but, the report also emphasizes that AI is just a tool. It's only as good as the people using it.
So it's not like wineries can just set it and forget it.
Exactly. They need to be thoughtful about how they integrate AI into their overall strategy. They need to ask the right questions, understand the limitations, and most importantly, make sure they're using AI ethically and responsibly.
It's not about replacing human connection. It's about enhancing it.
100%. And that brings us back to that idea of community and building relationships with your customers, because at the end of the day, people buy from people they like and trust, whether it's online or offline.
It's all about building those relationships, those connections that go beyond just a transaction. Now, what about those wine clubs we were talking about earlier? It seems like there's been a lot of talk lately about declining wine club memberships. Are people just not as into them as they used to be?
It's interesting, right? Because on the one hand, you have this whole movement toward personalization, customization, experiences. And then on the other hand, you have wine clubs, which can sometimes feel a little, I don't know, impersonal.
Like, here's a discount, buy our wine.
Exactly. And that might have worked in the past, but today's consumer, they're looking for more. They want to feel seen. They want to feel valued. They want to feel like they're part of something special.
So are wine clubs doomed? Are they going to go the way of, like, fax machines and phone booths?
Yeah, I don't think so. Wine clubs still have a lot to offer, but they definitely need to evolve to stay relevant. It's not enough to just offer a discount and call it a day. Wineries need to think about how they can create a wine club experience that's truly engaging, valuable, and tailored to the needs of their members.
So what does that look like in practice? Give me some examples.
Well, we're seeing a lot of wineries experiment with different formats, like virtual tasting items hosted by the winemaker or guest experts.
Oh, that's fun. I'd love to do that from my couch.
Exactly. It's a way to bring people together, even if they're geographically dispersed, and create that sense of community.
It's like that old Cheers song. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Exactly. And wineries are getting really creative with the perks they're offering. Exclusive access to limited edition wines, early release notifications, personalized wine recommendations based on your taste profile.
Okay, now you're speaking my language. I love that idea of getting personalized wine recommendations. It's like having your own personal sommelier on call.
Right. It's all about making people feel special, like they're getting something they couldn't get anywhere else.
It's about adding that extra touch, that personal touch, that makes all the difference. So what's the secret sauce? How do wineries create a wine club experience that really resonates with people?
I think it all comes back to data and really understanding your customer. Wineries need to use data to understand who their members are, what they value, how they want to engage, and then use that information to create an experience that feels personalized, engaging, and ultimately worth the investment.
It's about building a community, a tribe of passionate wine lovers who feel connected to the winery and to each other.
Couldn't agree more. It's about creating an experience that goes beyond just the wine itself. It's about fostering those relationships, building that loyalty that will last a lifetime.
It really feels like that's the common thread here. You know, no matter what aspect of the industry we're talking about, it always seems to come back to that idea of building relationships.
100%. You hit the nail on the head. It's like, yeah, the wine industry is changing, things are shifting, but those core values, you know, connection, community, they're more important than ever.
Absolutely. It's about creating an experience both for those, you know, diehard wine enthusiasts and for those folks who are just starting to like dip their toes into the wonderful world of wine.
Totally. And you know what? I think those wineries that are really going to thrive, they're the ones who are willing to like really lean into that. The ones who are willing to take risks, to try new things, to really listen to what their customers want.
It's about being brave enough to reimagine what the wine experience can be. It's not just about, you know, what's in the bottle.
100%. It's the whole package. It's the story, the experience, the connection. And it's about creating those aha moments for people, the ones they'll remember long after that last sip.
It's like you always say, we're in the business of memories, not just wine. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap things up.
Cheers to that. Cheers. A huge thank you to everyone for joining us for another deep dive. We hope you learned a thing or two, maybe uncorked some new ideas, and most importantly, that you're feeling inspired to go out there and explore the world of wine with a fresh perspective. Until next time, happy sipping.